The Tinker Flats building has stood vacant at the corner of 16th and the Monon for nearly 20 years. The hulking warehouse was once an office furniture factory and later a recycling center and will soon be the home of local food and beverage businesses looking to get started. Jerry A. Hayes, principal of Slane Capital and the man driving the effort, says they're using a model more often associated with computers than chocolate.
On the digital side, you have all these incubators that are helping folks build apps and build consumer-facing web properties, but there really isn't a whole lot of resources or collaborations around helping entrepreneurs want to build businesses around food and beverage.
One of the businesses committed to moving in is Trade Secret Chocolates. Owner Matt Rubin says he started making chocolate for his wife.
I found out last June that my wife has a milk allergy. And as I was throwing the chocolate away in our house, she broke down and I said, I'm going to try to make chocolate from scratch.
Rubin had no experience making chocolate, but soon discovered the craft involves a lot of science, something he's familiar with.
I have a background in biology and chemistry, and I've cooked for many years. And so chocolate is somewhere between food and science. And this is something I decided I wanted to get good at.
He started working out of Indy's Kitchen, a local commercial space that a lot of food trucks use, but quickly started to experience growing pains.
It's a great place to develop a product, but you're also fighting for space. You go in and you have to set up, and we actually had to design a new process where most chocolate factories would take up this, you know, half the size of this 1,000-square-foot room, and we had to shrink everything down into a few square feet.
Ruben is going to have a lot more elbow room at Tinker Flats. He's also going to have a lot more technical help. Hayes says his company plans to help artisan startups by providing resources like staff food scientists and quality assurance experts.
Because in many instances, you can't get your product out into the marketplace with these large retailers unless you have received a certain certification. It's very expensive to do, and most startups can't afford, you know, to put that kind of staff on early in the game, so we provide our staff to help with that process.
Ruben says it also feels like a perfect fit.
This is what you would expect if you were going to an old artisan. You know, it's like you go to France and you see someone that's been baking bread in the same place for 200 years.
Three other food and beverage-related businesses, including a marketing group, a brew incubator, and an artisan distiller, are already committed to moving into the building. Slane Capital will also move into the space where renovation is set to begin next month. Hayes hopes the food innovation space can help spark the revitalization of Martindale Brightwood.
There's a social component to what we're doing. We want to help the city, you know, change the story in Martindale Brightwood. There's plenty of opportunities to repurpose existing structures for distribution and manufacturing, to open up new structures, and there's a lot of jobs that could be created in food and manufacturing and distribution for the neighbors of Martindale Brightwood.
The Martindale-Brightwood area thrived in the railroad era, but by the mid-1940s, all the railroad business was gone and the neighborhood fell on hard times. In 2011, the 16th Street Strategic Redevelopment Plan identified the Tinker Flats building as a priority development site. The plan says that any development must contribute to the character of the neighborhood and enliven the corridor that used to be known as Tinker Street. Hayes believes the project will help the neighborhood grow, along with the demand for local food and drink.
Particularly with the millennials, they want to try new things, they want to experiment, and I think they want to know where their food comes from. I think they want to support local food entrepreneurs, and I think that is here to stay, because you can wrap an experience into your food.
The hub won't be open to the public for retail, but Ruben says it may provide opportunity to teach people who are passionate about food.
People learn how to work with food. While they can get trained on some of the basics, it's really something where you follow someone else. And so I like it because it's a process where you can really apprentice people into a new profession.
The project comes with a $3 to $3.5 million price tag, and the city of Indianapolis is supporting the build with $1 million from a community development block grant. Hayes hopes the building will be operational late this year. For WFYI News, I'm Jill Sheridan.